week, I'm sure, as I was last week, that the majority of the Jewish people will be a Parshat HaChodesh in all its various lessons, in all its various halachos, how much it influences the Jewish people. Therefore, I always feel I'm taking out a mitzvah, you know, one of those dead bodies that no one even looks at, just walks by. It's like walking by someone homeless. You just disregard him, ignore him. And actually speak about Parshat Vayikra in the context of our community and what I believe should be one of the hallmarks of our community. Throughout the Parsha, we find various korbanos. And one of the problems we have with korbanos is an inherent one. What problem we have with korbanos? What concept speak to us, and why doesn't it speak to us? To be more precise, why are you, Bruce, different than people that heard Parshas Vayikra in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? No, that's not an issue. The whole notion of korbanos for us is foreign because we've never seen it. We've just never seen a korban put on a mizbech in our life. I don't think you can take an example from the Shomrim because they don't do according to our halacha. You get an idea. I agree, but you get an idea. But on the other hand, I don't think you understand what it meant. Every morning bring a korban tamich shachar and tol matamich ben arbaim. A korban tol is necessary. A hat is necessary. And whatnot. It's much more than Hanukkah. First of all, you have to shecht it a certain way. Second of all, you have to sprinkle its blood around the mizbeach in various places. It's not like you do when you take a piece of meat, you throw it on your barbecue, and you eat it. Not to mention the fact that when you eat it, you have to be in a state of purity. And where you eat it, also it's restricted. Do you eat it in the Azara? Do you eat it in the Azara? Do you eat it within the old city of Jerusalem? There's various degradations in terms of korbanos. You're asking a question that, Bruce, I like to have to ask the editor. Are these rules that enhance the spiritual experience or that have a different idea in mind? I wasn't there when this was written, so I didn't consult me when they edited the Torah. You have to ask God what is in mind. The korbanos are one of the examples of things that we really don't know the reason for the various intricacies of why you have to eat this way and why it's korban you have to eat that way. It's indeed one of those chakim of the Torah that's very hard to understand. What I'm suggesting is that in the time when we have korbanos again, we have to understand, we try to understand a lesson or two from korbanos. When I was a kid in grade 4, every Friday the teacher would talk about the Parsha, because Friday night, if he doesn't speak, kids at the table don't speak about the Parsha. Ultimately, parents are going to complain Monday morning, and when they pay high tuition, they're right to complain. So, one week comes Parsha Vayikra, and we're learning Mishnayot, and then someone raises his hand, what about the Parsha? So someone in the class, a very learned, like a fourth grader, said, the Parsha talks about korbanos. Teacher affirms, yeah, it's about korbanos, let's go on. He had nothing to say, nothing to add, korbanos are far from us, he never met them, I guess. It's totally and utterly a foreign story that he's never went to. I like to believe that if Chazal said we have to read Vayikra every year, I'm going to do this Shabbos, then there's something in it for us to learn from, even when, fortunately, there's no korbanos as of. So allow me to take one little lesson connected to our series of thoughts on our community. Throughout the parsha, we find an interesting Yisrael. You have situations where a private Jew did an avera, not intentionally, but inadvertently, ultimately, b'shgeik, he put on a light on Shabbos because he didn't mean allowed to put light on Shabbos, or he forgot it was Shabbos. And because Shabbos is a grave sin, it's one of those sins that if you do it intentionally on Shokar, it's worse. You have to bring, in Shogay, a korban. What's the name of the korban? Katat. Going further from the individual to the Jewish people. If the Sanhedrin, Paskin, you're allowed to put lights on Shabbos. All the Jewish people put on lights on Shabbos. And a few months later, the Sanhedrin says, whoop, made a mistake. Do it. You have to bring a special korban called Tarha Alem Davar Shalom. And if the king, Asher Nasiyecha, makes an Avera, two will have to bring a court. What do we learn from this? What I learned from this is one lesson and one lesson only. There is a word in the dictionary perfection. I want to say today clearly, perfection is only a word that exists. Where? In the dictionary. There is no such thing as perfection in the world outside of the dictionary. There is not one human being alive that throughout the majority of the year there isn't some time he felt that he did some sort of an avera. From not eating a bracha before he ate a strawberry to worse. How do I know that? How do I get them saying that there's no human being out there that does sin? What do we have in the calendar every year? Every year! Yom Tov. A few weeks fine, Parshas Acharemos. We're going to read, I quote, this day is there for atonement for all your sins. Have God know that every single year we're going to need it. Maybe it'll be a year we don't need it. You know, you don't have to do an aveira every year and bring a chat. It could be a year where you went the entire year and you'd have to bring a chatat. Right? You have Shabbat? All the 50-something chapters of the year. Somehow God knows, and even in divine wisdom, that we're going to need Yom Kippur every year. But I learned from the Parsha one lesson. Since perfection only exists in the dictionary, there is a way to fix your problems, sins, falls, misgivings, and whatnot. And we can't be afraid of actually saying, wow, we may fall, or we did fall. We have to know how to use the fall and fix it. Just like when something breaks is a way of screwing it back together, so too the Parsha teaches us that when a Jew falls out of the spiritual path he or she should be on, I believe that the beauty of Judaism is that we're not angels. The beauty of Judaism is that we ultimately have the ability to come along and say, we're human, and because we're human, we're angels. Because we're not angels, we may fall, but we don't leave it there. Ah, I fell. Whatever it was, I took my kippah once and I ate non-kosher food. So since I did it once, there's no way back. I'll just continue. There is a way back. It's called tshuva. Allow me to bring two tangible nafkaminas, two tangible examples for our community where I believe this plays out. Let's start with the first one. One of the, in my opinion, not so positive inventions of our latest generation is something on the internet called Facebook. Why do I believe it's not so positive? For various reasons, I believe that it intrudes upon your privacy. I also believe the terminology used in the various Facebook is not accurate. I don't think that just because a person happens to know you, he can call you friend. The question I always ask is, of your 300 friends, how many of them do you want to go out for a cup of coffee? But Facebook is their thing. What's a 16-year-old girl, when she's 16, immature, posted something on Facebook? Fast forward about 10 years, she is now applying for a job. So they check her out. And it turns out at 16, she posted something on Facebook that wasn't so nice. She will not get that job. There was a law case in the New York Times Magazine, a predecessor to this book, in the Friedebiker generation, back when the dinosaurs still ruled the earth, there was something called MySpace. That was the version. That's like the Volkswagen. That's like the buggy and horse. Anyway, in the buggy horse, someone posted something. She was 16. She applied for a teaching job when she was 25, and they didn't give it to her simply because she posted something when she was 16. Judaism, no, you can't delete it. Once it's posted, it's posted. You could try to delete later, but it was posted, it's posted. And she got to other people, and other people forwarded to other people. It's there in cyberspace. We believe, Judaism, that there's something called tshuva. Well, you did something, you fell, there's a way to fix it. There's this korban, that korban, that korban, depending on if it's the individual that did the aveira versus the higher Jewish people that somehow fell. And therefore, it's extremely important and vital to understand that case of the New York Times should not happen within our community. If a person posts something, and they tshuva, if God gives us every year, then we have to forgive that person. Now I'm going to say in the opposite direction. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I believe, says that when God puts on judgment on Rosh Hashanah, let's say, he basically teaches you the way you judge other people. If you hold a grudge against people, if you're in a doctic with people, that's what God will do with you. But if you're easygoing, then God will be easygoing. There's no one easygoing than God. You ate pig entire life. One day you decide to light and stop. What happens to those averas? Gone! So we have to act the same way. We cannot judge people based only on their past. We have to judge them based on how they live their life in the present. And there is a means and a way to fix your past. That's example nafkamina number one. I wanted to bring nafkamina number two. And we believe I'm very proud of our community. Many times around the table we talk about how terrible our community is. This is why I'm proud of our community and not so proud about other communities. We all know there's a lot of singles out there, both sides of the spectrum, male and female. They eventually come together, they have a date. In certain communities, if there happens to be a flaw in the family, the flaw could be the mother had a nervous breakdown upon a time, The flaw could be there is a mentally challenged child in the family. The flaw could be the one's not religious, the Baal Tshuva. Ultimately, the Shidduch and the Shera are what? Second rate, third rate, because they can't get to the pure part of the Jewish people. I am very proud that in our community, to my knowledge, this wonderful notion, which is anti-Jewish in every single way, doesn't exist. If the Parsha says there's no such thing as perfection, the king can sin, the individual Jew can sin, and the entire Jewish people can sin together, but there's no fix it. How can we dare to judge people based on their past? Not give shidduchim to children based on who they are and what they may do. Do you know people make decisions today, make decisions based on will my kids get shidduchim or not? It's beyond me. It's absolutely beyond me. The Torah says, lo yomutu banim al avod, banim lo yomutu, excuse me, lo yomutu banim al avod, lo yomutu abanim, ish hatol yumata. Every Jew, it deserves it. Why? Because it's his or her sin, not because it's father's sin. How do you come along and judge people for shidduchim, son, he once made a mistake? Now, if sinning right now, I wouldn't want my kid to marry this kid either. I'd say, yeah, I don't think he's a good boy or a good girl. I don't think that this is someone you want to build your life with. If Ken is a mafioso, I'm not sure I'd want that. But if he was a mafioso, he rehabilitated himself. And now he's not. Are you any more firm than Torah? God believes in truth, but you don't. The truth is, I personally am extremely bothered by a notion out there today that says that perfection is outside the dictionary. I don't know if anyone's picked. I'm perfect, I don't think you're perfect, and I don't think there's a human being alive that's perfect. If God wanted the Torah to be by perfect people, then God wouldn't have given it to people. God had a chance, long before the Jewish people came on the scene, to give Torah to the angels and be done with it. There would have been a have to be a Yom Kippur. They don't need any day of the year. They don't wear shoes any day of the year. They don't have relations, not to food, not to sex, not to anything else. They're perfect. They're angels. That's why they're called angels. They're perfect. But God gave it to us. And allow me to say that God gave it to us. God knew in his infinite wisdom that we're going to fall, we're going to sin, and we're going to have various challenges against pure Torah lifestyle. But God gave us a means to fix it. And if God gave us a means to fix it, how dare we, in our own life, not the people, well, you fell, you did, it was terrible, but you fixed it. Now, if a person did fix it, I don't believe they should get any cold. But if they did fix it, who will we say? No. We remember that 10 years ago you were like this, and therefore you can't daven or numbered or whatever it is. Right now the person is being indicted for tax evasion, I'm thinking he should daven for a numbered. On the other hand, the person did tax evasion, lawling, went to prison, paid his toll to society and is rehabilitated, you absolutely give him sheep. I don't believe in this beautiful thing that once this thing you're on the black. God doesn't have a blacklist when it comes to our Aveiros, the Yom Kippur every year. But we're firmer than God. We have a blacklist. Having said that, if a person right now is imperfect and he does not feel that he needs to fix his sin, I don't believe he should get a kavod. Your live example I was consulted with recently. There is a gentleman, unfortunately, had to call bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is an anti-Jewish concept. I want you to understand. Bankruptcy means that you're bankrupt and they can't come and take anything from you because you're bankrupt. So this person owed money to creditors. So he said, the bankruptcy laws is that you take my assets and you sell them off, and if there's still money I owe to creditors, then what's halakha? Let's say I owe $100,000 to 10 creditors, right? How many each creditor? 10. Very good, Bruce. You know your man. I have assets in the amount of $50,000, which means each creditor gets $5,000. I still owe $5,000 to 10 creditors, altogether $1,000. According to the laws of bankruptcy, toughness, you get your five, that's it. That's in base. That's an anti. If you owe money to someone, you have to pay back. So this person said, I have to declare bankrupt. I have no choice. And the minute I get the money, I will pay you. So it might be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 10 years, but I will pay you back. And as time goes on, get small payments, that person should get every cover in the world. He got it part time, and he's trying to fix it. But if a person says, I'm bankrupt, tough news. I don't think he should daven for an omelet. What is he, a big mitzvah? That's terrible. That's all. He can't, he can't. If he's trying, that's great. If he's not even trying, I don't think he should get a cover. Perfection only exists in the dictionary. It doesn't exist outside the dictionary. And we have to remember that in the way we consult and conduct our lives. Every one of us falls. Every one of us have weaknesses, and every one of us will ultimately have challenges. The Torah in this week's Parsha says explicitly, there's ways to fix it. And I don't think we should be smarter than the Torah. I think we should follow in the ways of God. The beautiful, beautiful halacha called V'halach Bidrachav. You should follow in the ways of God. Mara says, this means that God goes ahead and provides for the needy, you should provide for the needy. If God visited Avraham Avinu when he was sick, when after his bris milah, when he was very, very old, then you should visit the sick. And if God is a rachum v'chanun, if God is merciful and forgives sin, then we can't be any different. We should follow the ways of God and not be frumer than the ways of God. Finally, and most importantly, we have to be extremely careful when we speak about sinners. There are sinners out there. We all know them. So then we know personally. If they're willing and working on fixing their mistakes, we have to allow the process through and not judge and not be quick to say he's terrible, he's a lowlife, he's this, he's a bad. I believe that if you call someone a lowlife, he will be a lowlife. If you call someone a bad student, they'll live up what you say. They'll be a bad student. We all fall. We all have behavior patterns that are sometimes not very conducive and positive. But there is a means and a way to fix it. So therefore, I don't think we have to be embarrassed that we're human. Perfection only exists in the dictionary. But on the other hand, because we're human, we have to seek ways to fix it. And if we do, we are not judge people and say, well, you're still alone. You're still the same.